I Psalm 62 and the first two verses. Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Here's the confession of the child of God that the Lord is our rock. He is our salvation. It's to him that we come to worship this evening. We take up that psalm, Psalm 62, and we will sing together the first six verses, 1-6. Notice that we've just read in verse 1 of that, waiting upon the Lord, and again in verse 5, my soul, wait thou with patience upon thy God alone. On him dependeth all my hope and expectation. This expression of waiting upon the Lord occurs not uncommonly, particularly in the Psalms. And that's what we take up and look at tonight as we begin examination of Psalm 25. Before we sing these words, let's first of all come before the Lord our God in prayer to ask for his blessing. Let's stand to pray. Jehovah God, the God of our salvation, our rock, and upon whom depends all of our expectation and hope. We come before your presence in the evening hour of the Sabbath day with an expectation, an eager expectation, for you are that God in whom is found all light and life, that you are the Creator and the Sustainer and the Provider and our Saviour. You are that one who is drawing all things to your perfect purposes and to that perfect end. And in that, we have our salvation. Jesus Christ, our Saviour, who has come and risen again from the dead and ascended into heaven, and there is our High Priest, is our perfect salvation. In his perfect righteousness, in his blood shed on our behalf. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful truth in which we rest on this Sabbath day, in which we joy. We pray, once again, draw near to us in this Sabbath hour. Lord, we cannot do the least good thing without you. We cannot worship you in this evening hour except by your Spirit and by your grace. All of our activities without you are in vain. And therefore, we pray, Lord, by your Holy Spirit presencing yourself with us here, by the grace of Christ, stir up our hearts that we may indeed worship you in spirit and in truth, with a delight to show forth your glory, to draw near unto you into that most holy place, through the living veil, through that is Christ, and that we may know of a blessed communion and fellowship with you through this worship that you have given to us. Hear our prayers. Lord, forgive us for our sins and failings and shortcomings, and richly bless your people for the sake of our King and Saviour, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
My soul with expectation depends on God in me. My strength and my salvation doth from him alone proceed. He only my salvation is, and my strong rock is he. He only is my sure defense, much moved I shall not be. How long will ye against a man plot mischief? Ye shall all be slain. Ye as a tottering face shall be, and the wing wall. They only plot to cast him down from his excellency. They joy in lies with mouth, they bless what they curse inwardly. My soul wait thou with patience upon thy God alone. On him dependeth all my hope and expectation. He only my salvation is, and my strong rock is he. He only is my sure defense, I shall not moved be.
We take our first reading from the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 12. Luke 12, and we take up our reading at verse 22, reading through verse 40, 22 through 40 of Luke chapter 12. In this section of this Gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to his disciples, and here he is counseling them. He's admonishing, instructing, teaching them, leading them, things that we'll be looking at tonight in the call of David as he cries to the Lord. Particularly, he's calling them to seek first the kingdom of God, that they are not to be concerned about the sorts of earthly things, but rather first and foremost to seek after the Lord and salvation. But then, beside that, then we will see that there is this setting forth of the waiting upon God. And we see some of the things that we'll be taking up tonight as well out of Psalm 25, what it is to wait upon the Lord. With that in mind, let's read in this part of God's Word. Luke chapter 12, from verse 22. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If he then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you that Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have, and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself, and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched, and not suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. Amen. And we look for God's blessing once again by his Spirit, with his word read to us. Let's sing again in praise to God, this time Psalm 130. Psalm 130, singing all the words of the psalm. Notice the plaintive cry here of the psalmist, our cry to the Lord to hear us, to give an ear. And that the confession that our forgiveness of our sins is found in the Lord alone. Notice once again this expression of waiting for the Lord. In verse 5, I wait for God, my soul doth wait, my hope is in his word, more than they for that for morning watch. My soul waits for the Lord, I say, more than they that do watch the morning light to see. It is because our hope and expectation is found completely in the Lord. Therefore, we wait with that eager expectation for him. Let's confess these truths and praise our Lord. Remain seated to sing.
Lord, from the depths to thee I cry, my voice, Lord, do thou hear. Unto my supplications voice, give an attentive ear. Lord, who shall stand if thou, but yet with thee forgiveness is, that here thou mayest be. I wait for God, my soul doth wait, my hope is in his word. More than they that for morning watch, my soul waits for the Lord. I say more than they that do watch the Lord, for
Let's stand now and come before our God in congregational prayer. Our Lord, our King, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Lord, we stand as those who are but your creatures, creatures who are of the dust. Yea, Lord, we confess that when we die, we return to the dust. That we are very finite creatures, but you are the God that inhabits eternity. That we confess that we live moment by moment and in a single place, and yet you are the God who is from everlasting to everlasting at all times, and that you are in your omnipresence in all of your being at every point in space at all times. Lord, we cannot possibly even comprehend your greatness. And yet, Lord, despite that, you are a God who draws near to us, that you speak to us in your word, in a language that we may understand, that you draw near to us, though you are so infinite and incomprehensible, yet you come and make yourself known to us. You come and speak to us truth in such a way that we can understand it, that we can know you. Even though, Lord, we are creatures, and even though our minds are so affected with the corruption of sin, yet it is that you draw near unto us, that by your wondrous salvation you have made us alive. Where before our ears were stopped and our eyes were blind and we had, as it were, no spiritual breath in us, yet you have come by the Holy Spirit, the Holy Breath, and you have breathed into us life again spiritually through the Lord Jesus Christ, a grace that has indeed made us alive. We praise you, we thank you, Lord, that that is the case, so that we may now hear you. We hear and we know you, as we saw this morning, because of your work, the grace of Christ, the life of Christ that now flows in us because we are joined to him. And we have the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, so that we hear you and we know you. We delight in your word, that word that we have been singing, that word which we have been reading, and oh, how we long to know that word more. We know that we are so slow of heart to believe, and yet, Lord, we come unto you. We desire that you might hear the earnest prayers of our hearts this night, the prayers that we offer together, but the prayers individually of our own hearts as we stand here before you. We pray, Lord, bow down your ear and hear the cries of your servants. Those cries in which we set forth your glory and we confess your truth and your mercy, wondrous truth in the midst of a world that is full of lies. For we have Satan, the great adversary, who sends as the great red dragon a flood of lies and deception that floods through the earth. And he desires to tear us away from the truth, and yet your truth shines brightly in your word, in the face of Jesus Christ our Lord, in the face of all of the beauty of his work. And that shines with a mercy to sinners. Lord, we would dare not come before you, except it is that you have come in your love and mercy and shown forth, set forth, manifested your amazing love for sinners, that we may come therefore boldly to you and plead on the basis of Christ that you would forgive us, and know that you will abundantly pardon, that there is mercy for sinners such as us. Oh Lord, we thank you for that truth. We thank you that we can have a confidence in your wondrous work, not in ourselves, not in anything that we have done, but purely to your promises we cling and we trust. We pray, Lord, strengthen us. We are those made alive in Christ Jesus, and we experience that and know that, yet we also experience and know the weakness of our faith, the weakness of our walk with you. Oh Lord, draw near to us, strengthen our faith. We pray, Lord, that you may increase our love. May we know more and more the love of God in Christ Jesus, that we may therefore reflect just a small amount of that in our walk and life with you. Yea, in this very congregation, that we may show forth that love for one another. Lord, we pray, increase our hope. As we have seen this morning, we pray, Lord, that hope, that sure and certain resting on your promises, that hope may be a real and a living and a burning thing in our mind and our heart as we eagerly and expectantly wait for that which you have promised and already have begun to give us. And we pray, Lord, through these things, that faith, that love, that hope, that we may be growing. We pray, Lord, that you may continue to be with us as a congregation here, but likewise we commit into your care the other congregations of our church in Sydney, in Winnalea, in Launceston, and particularly, Lord, with the great difficulties that have been there in Launceston in this last year. We pray, Lord, strengthen them, encourage them, build them up, be with those who have suffered much in those families that are there, that you may build them up, edify them, draw them near unto yourself, give comfort in the truth of Christ Jesus. We pray, be with the pastor, with Pastor Shan, that you would strengthen him in his labors to bring the word of God, to bring light and truth and comfort and grace, Lord, that all these things may be blessed by your Spirit using that word set forth. Be with each one of the people, Lord, for we know that it is in the work of your people as they are equipped with the beauty of the gospel that they will be about the work of ministry and the edifying of the body of Christ. We pray that that may be true there and in each one of our congregations, in ours included, that we may speak the truth in love, and by that which every joint supplies, that we may be built up in the edifying of the church in love. Lord, we pray it for other churches also, for those whom we know, particularly those churches with whom we have a relationship. Lord, be with them. Be with the Pilgrim Covenant Church in Singapore and with her ministers. We pray, be with the Protestant Reformed churches in America and with their ministers. And particularly, we commit them into your care once again. Lord, very sad things happening in the midst of them, as those who had been faithful ministers stirred up to do wrong things and stir up others, and Lord, now coming to a head. Oh Lord, what sadness there, what sorrow. And yet we pray that they may hold fast to the truth, that they may show forth mercy and truth in the midst of all these things, and that you may bring in powerfully by your word that which is needed at this time. We do pray that you might continue to be with us. Lord, we need that word of truth once again. We are here not only to lift up our voices in praise to you, but to worship you in the hearing of your word. We desire to show forth your praises even in the eager receiving of the truth into our souls. Bless us, therefore, we pray, by your Spirit and by your truth, that we may go from this place holding the precious treasure of your word in our souls. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen. We turn to Psalm 25. Psalm 25, we'll read the whole of the psalm. Our text for this evening is the first five verses of this psalm. As Lord willing, we begin a series on that this evening. Psalm 25, reading from verse 1. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn thee unto me, and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O, bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon mine affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with a cruel hatred. O, keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. Amen. Thus far we read in God's holy and inspired word. Beloved covenant people of God, Psalm 25 is, as some of you may have at the top of your each of these chapters, this one is a Psalm of David. In other words, it's written by him, but of course also it's inspired by the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit breathes out his word. David is caused to write down this psalm. It is, in fact, also one of those very personal songs of the Holy Spirit, where the psalmist, and of course us also as we read and as we sing this psalm, it's not just the psalmist but us, they speak in the first person. So that's what David is doing here. He says, I and my soul and show me. A very personal language, and as such it's very easy for us to directly apply this to our own life and our own experience. In fact, that's the very reason why God writes like this, as indeed we should. We should be taking these things up and applying them to our own soul and life. As we come to this psalm, I'd like us to note a couple of different things about this more generally, about this psalm as a whole. First of all, we ought to note in the whole of this psalm that David is facing two very troubling things that confront him. The first is the assaults of his enemies. He is facing that which come from those who are ungodly men who hate him. And that's our experience in the world because of the enmity that God has put between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. But the other thing that he's facing is his sins. He recognized that he's a sinner, an ongoing sinner in so many ways. And the guilt of that sin, his failings, it bears down heavily upon him. And he knows that his sins can carry him away in all sorts of wrong ways. And therefore he cries out to the Lord in his trouble. So both of those things are pressing in upon him, his enemies and his sins. The second thing to note here is the whole way in which David responds. David is responding in this psalm in two different ways. In fact, it alternates backwards and forwards between those two different ways. He alternates between praying to the Lord and crying out to the Lord, and then he moves into meditation upon the truth of God. And then he returns back to crying out to the Lord. In other words, the one moves to the other backwards and forwards. And that is a good thing for us to actually learn. That's what we ought to do too. The crying out to the Lord and praying to him leads us to think more about his wonderful truth. And thinking about the wonderful truth that he sets forward in the scripture leads us to returning to praying to him and crying out to him. And that pattern set forth in this psalm is a beautiful one for us to take up and to also have in our life. But coming then to this section that we take up tonight, the first five verses of the psalm, we note that in this section twice David speaks about waiting upon the Lord. We've already been noting as we have been singing other psalms tonight that there are other psalms that speak of this. In fact, there are at least 10 other psalms that speak about this waiting upon God. It's obviously a very significant matter in the psalms and in the scriptures more generally. Now, we might say, well, okay, what's this waiting? You know, we talk about waiting at a bus stop and you're sort of just sitting there and sort of, you know, you're just waiting for the time to pass by. But that's not the idea of this waiting. This waiting is an expectation. It's an eager looking forward to something. It is a dependence upon what one knows is coming. That's the idea of waiting. It's, as it were, stretching out and stretching towards with an eagerness, waiting upon in that sense. That's the waiting here. So we confess, along with David here, that we wait upon the Lord. Do we fully grasp that? Do we know what that's about? Well, here, particularly in this part of the psalm, these first five verses, that's what David is really addressing. And so as Paul says, we're to sing with the Spirit, but we're to sing with the understanding also. Let's understand more clearly for our own hearts and lives what is spoken of here. We consider what it is to wait upon the Lord under just that thing. Waiting upon the Lord. Under that, we'll consider three things. First of all, by trusting in him. Secondly, by being led by him. And thirdly, by committing our soul to him. Waiting upon the Lord. In verses 2 and 3, we read, O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Here we are introduced to this idea of being ashamed. When David talks about being ashamed, once again, a number of these words that we come across here tonight, they are words that have somewhat changed in their English meaning. Here, ashamed, we quite often think of ashamed as we've done something wrong, and then we're found out, and we sort of, you know, hang our heads in shame, and oh dear, I'm in disgrace because of the wrong that I've done. But once again, that's not the idea of being ashamed. It's rather, the idea of ashamed is to be let down. It's to be disappointed. It's to have your hopes upon something and being dependent upon something, but as it were, it all collapses and it comes to nothing. And that's the idea of being ashamed. So David says, let them be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. He says, let those who deal and act treacherously against God in the vanity of their evil imaginations, let them be brought to nothing. Let their expectations, let their hopes be dashed. That nothing would come of what they are about. This is a truth that the child of God needs to know, be reminded of. A very important one. Even to be in prayer over so that we will wait upon the Lord in this way. How are we to understand this whole idea of what's being spoken about here? Well, mankind, of course, in general, having fallen in Adam, and in particular, every one of us, by nature, we transgress. As the word is here, it says, you know, those who transgress without cause in verse 3. But more literally, this word that David used here is to deal treacherously. It's to commit treason. That's the idea of this word. Here we're to understand that by nature, what we do as mankind in general, and every one of us in particular, is that we were created by God to love him, to serve him, to be in fellowship and communion with him. And he gave us every good thing. And what did we do? We dealt treasonously with him, treacherously against God. We rebelled against him and used him terribly, and that we turned away from him in rebellion and went against every true and right way. That's why it says men do this without cause. There is no reason to do this except for a direct rebelliousness and a hatred for the truth. What do men do that for? They're hoping to gain for themselves, aren't they? They're putting their hope in that. What did the devil put before mankind? You know, eat the fruit of that tree, you'll be as gods, knowing good and evil. You know, mankind rebels against God and goes after all these expectations. And what David is praying here is, Lord, those who deal treacherously against you in a vanity, let their expectations be dashed. Let their hopes be brought to nothing. Let them be ashamed. But that's true. That is the case. That if mankind pursues in the vanity of his mind that rebelliousness against God, it may not be in this earthly life, but sooner or later men will be brought before Almighty God, and all their life and all their work will be brought to nothing but anguish and punishment. And they will be ashamed in the fullest sense of the word. But in contrast, and this is the contrast that David confesses here, we have our trust in our God. There is nothing else to put our trust in, is there, in this life? Who else is there to put our trust in? Trust, of course, is another word for faith. It means to cast oneself upon another, knowing of a security and an assurance and a quietness and a confidence in so doing, to cast yourself upon another. But who may we do that with? To whom else shall we go? Said Peter, you have the words of eternal life. There is no organization. There is no political body. There is no wonderful education body. There is no single person in this world upon whom we can cast ourselves with perfect confidence. Put not your trust in princes nor the Son of Man. That's what we sang this morning, wasn't it? It's in God alone that we can have faith. Notice that David says, "Oh my God." Not just, "Oh God," but, "Oh my God." That's faith. It's to know by faith that we belong to God and that he is our God. How is that possible? How is it that we may say, as creatures of the dust, who are sons and daughters of Adam, who are rebels by nature, how can we say, "Oh my God"? It's only by this one way. By confessing that we are by nature those rebels who hate the truth by nature and do every wrong thing, and we have no good in and of ourselves, and to seek God's forgiveness in and through the blood of Jesus Christ. The only way. And we have to do that personally, to cry out to him. And it's only in this way that we will not be ashamed. Any other way, but that one way, is to lead to being ashamed, to have our hopes completely dashed. We therefore trust that we will be saved and helped. We need help and deliverance. Along with David, we confess that we have so many enemies. "Oh my God," he says, "let not my enemies triumph over me." Many enemies. There is, of course, Satan himself. Satan, the name Satan, actually means adversary, enemy. So his very name means enemy. When we say Satan, that's what we're saying. He is my great enemy. There is also, of course, all of the ungodly world that has an enmity against God's people, against the Church of Christ. And, of course, we fight that warfare daily against a horrible enemy within. That old man of corruption that wants to rise up and rule over me. And there's that spiritual warfare that we have within us. Each of those enemies desires our defeat. And that's why David says, let not my enemies triumph over me. Let not my enemies rise up and defeat me. Let me not sink under that temptation and that hard warfare that I'm facing day by day. He's saying, and we say, Lord, I struggle. Lord, I struggle. Is that not the experience of the Christian in our daily life? Lord, I struggle. Help me to trust. Help me to wait upon you. Let me not be ashamed to find myself with hopes and confidence in you that are dashed. Lord, sustain me, lift me up, bear me. I struggle, help me to trust. And here is the wonderful truth to keep us close and to keep us trusting in Jesus and our covenant God. It's because of who he is. Notice that David here uses both names of God. He uses that, just the simple name of God, God, or Elohim as it is in the Hebrew. And that comes from a word that has the idea of absolute power and strength. In other words, David is saying, I trust in the Almighty One, the Sovereign One, who is powerful over all things. But also he trusts in Lord, all capitals, that's the name Jehovah that's found in the scripture. Or God's covenant name, that name that means I am that I am, the ever faithful God who has sworn in his own name that in his covenant he will keep and save every single one of his people. David says, I trust in that God who is all powerful and has sworn in his own covenant relationship to me that he will never leave me nor forsake me. He is our God, our Savior, our King. In him we trust alone. And hence when David says, Lord, let me never be ashamed. Let those that wait on you never be ashamed. He really, what he's doing there is he's not saying there's some doubt about this. He's actually reminding himself of a wonderful truth. And in so doing, the Holy Spirit is reminding us tonight of a wonderful truth. As we trust in God, in Jehovah, and cast ourselves upon his mercy in Christ, we will never be ashamed. We will never be let down. We will never be cast away. But we will be held in his perfect hands at all times. We're to wait upon God by trusting in him. But we're also to wait upon the Lord, we're told in this psalm, by being led by him. Verses 4 and 5. Verses 4 and 5 say, show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. On you do I wait all the day. Here's the next aspect of waiting upon the Lord. It is to be shown and to be led in the right path. Of course, as soon as we start hearing the word road, way, path, it does, and so it ought to, remind us immediately, doesn't it? We're reminded of the one way and the one path that is Jesus Christ. We're reminded of the truth in the New Testament that says that there is a broad way that many find and that many go down with a great rate of knots, but it's a road that leads to destruction. But there's a narrow way that leads to life, and there's few that find that way. And that narrow path, we know, is Jesus Christ himself, who is the way, the road, the path, because he's the truth and the life, and he alone is the way of salvation. The beauty of what David is saying here comes out as we consider these words. David says, show, or literally that word means declare, make known to me your ways. Teach me your paths. Lead me and teach me in your truth. And in all that, we certainly are acknowledging that we can never know and we can never walk in Christ except God himself comes and rescues us. We are dependent upon him. And we seek after him and wait upon him in that way. God comes and he rescues and he delivers and he teaches and he enlightens. It's God that works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure, so that we believe and rest upon Christ. Our salvation and being brought from walking willingly in the way of destruction and going with all else down that broad way, and being brought by God to being enlightened and alive and through the narrow gate and into that narrow way. That is all by God's gracious work. And we wait upon that. But I want you to notice something here with me, because I've purposely taken us in that way. Excuse the pun. But not to, as it were, take us in a wrong path. But there's something more important to notice here. Notice that it's very easy, and we can quickly assume that what's being spoken of here, when David says, "Show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me in thy paths," we can immediately jump to, well, this is speaking about being brought out of death and sin and into the way, into Jesus Christ, and being saved and set on the way of salvation. But this is not primarily what's being spoken of here. That's not primarily what's being spoken of here. It is perfectly true, all that we've just said. And it's gloriously true, and we rest in that. But in fact, David, and us too, as we sing this psalm, are confessing that we are saved already. You notice that in verse 2. David says, "I do trust in you already, Lord." And in verse 5, "You are the God of my salvation. Now, lead me, teach me." You see, what is it saying in verses 4 and 5? We wait upon the Lord because we have been saved. And thus we have a deep desire now that the Lord would teach us and lead us in all of our Christian life. That's the aspect that's being talked about here. And that's why, and notice carefully, every part of the Word of God is important. That's why it's in the plural. That's why it's in the plural. Notice that David does not say, "Show me your way, O Lord, and teach me your path." But it's ways and paths. Multiple, plural. There are not many ways to God. There are not many ways of salvation. There's only one way, and that's Jesus Christ. So what is this talking about here? It's talking about all of the very many ways that Jesus and the truth of his gospel impacts on all the different parts of our walk with the Lord. It's talking about the fact that we, because we trust in God and that God is the God of our salvation, that we need teaching and leading right now, every one of us. That's what we need. And we will need teaching and leading at every time and at every stage of our lives. And it doesn't matter how many years we live the Christian life. You and I, it doesn't matter if we're very mature Christians who have had years of teaching, then we need to say this, "Oh Lord, show me, teach me, lead me." Here's something that's very humbling, isn't it? Very humbling for every one of us, you and me, to confess. And we need to confess this if we're truly going to sing this psalm. We know very little. We understand very little. All of us are disciples of Jesus Christ. What does the word disciple mean? The word disciple in the scripture is literally, if you translate it across from the Greek, it means learner. It means a learner. That means that you and I, as we walk through the Christian life, as it were, we've got a great big yellow L sign stuck to our back. Learner. That's who we are. Not one of us any different. Every single one of us are learners. And as such then, we need to have this attitude, the same attitude that David had here. He is God's king, anointed to be the king over Israel, to lead God's church. He's God's prophet here by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, speaking God's word. And what does he say? Oh, Lord, teach me, show me, lead me, bring me in your paths. Is this our heart and mind? Is this the attitude that we have in all of our work? Do we humbly recognize that we have only just begun to understand the glories of God and the truth of the Scriptures and the wonder of salvation in Jesus Christ and the depths of the gospel and how it applies to all the different parts of our life? Do we humbly bow before Him and say, Lord, I'm a baby. I'm a learner. Oh, help me to know that and to have such a humble attitude. We need God's grace, His undeserved favor toward ignorant sinners, you and I, who actually have so many wrong things in our hearts and minds, and God knows that we're dust. He treats us as a father. He pities us. Just the same as a father looks at the little child who runs around and says all sorts of things that are wrong, and he doesn't constantly say, no, that's wrong, that's wrong. He deals with us graciously, carefully, gently. We need God's grace. God's grace is a mighty transforming power. Remember, God's undeserved favor, but a transforming power. How does it need to transform us? Well, we need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, says the Scripture. And that means that no matter where we are in life and no matter who we are in life, you or me, I need to be renewed in my thinking, in my understanding, and to be taught and to be led and to be guided. We need to have taken away from us blindness and lies and false understanding and to be taught and led. And wonderfully, that's why God leads every one of us together in Christ Jesus into His church. Because it's in His church where we need one another so much. There we have the preaching of the word, which must speak to the heart of the preacher just as much as to the sheep, and to be transforming the preacher as well as the people. But we have the preaching of His Word, the authority of the Word of God to lead us. Here we have each other to remind one another and to actually be as iron sharpens iron and to teach and guide and help one another in that truth, to encourage one another to be humble, to be learners, to remind each other of the big L plate we have on our back as we are disciples and learners of Jesus Christ. And then, and only then, waiting upon the Lord, will we walk, move forward, and progress in His paths and in His truths that we have applied to our minds and hearts. We wait upon the Lord by being led by Him. Thirdly, we wait upon the Lord by committing our soul to Him. That's the last thing that we see here. Verse 1, David says, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. As we've been seeing in the Psalms, the first verse of the Psalm is usually, most commonly, not only a summary, but it's really the conclusion of the whole Psalm. And so it is here with this Psalm as well. The first verse where David says this is really the conclusion and summary of the whole Psalm. But in a very real way, it's also the conclusion and summary of the first five verses of this text that we have been considering. What we've been looking at in the verses 2 through 5 is then summarized by verse 1. Remember, waiting upon the Lord is that eager expectation. It is a sense of delighted and assured dependence upon the Lord as the source of our life and salvation. It's an eager reaching forth to the Lord in our trust in Him. Oh Lord, let me not be ashamed, but to trust fully in You and to be supported in You. Lord, lead me and teach me and show me Your truth as a humble learner of that. And therefore, we're to see that the daily exercise of the Christian life when we get up each day is to humbly learn and to be taught. And of course, that will lead us to repentance, won't it? Because more and more the light of God's word shines upon our life, and God reveals what we really like. He brings the circumstances of our life, and lo and behold, what's my attitude, and how do I behave, and how am I speaking? And oh Lord, as David does later in this psalm, my iniquities are very great. and it leads us to repentance. And it leads us then to faith, because we are cast back on the Lord. And once again, we believe, oh Lord, my only hope is in Christ Jesus and in the washing from my sins. It, God's word convicts us, but God's word leads us to the beauty of the cleansing in Christ's blood. And we're assured again and again each day as we cry out to Him of the forgiveness of our sins and a loving Heavenly Father that draws us to Himself in Christ. And we'll be thirsting then more and more after that teaching. We want to know greater beauties of this covenant God who has established His relationship with us, that we may be growing daily in Him. It's by that gift of faith that He's given to us that we wait upon Him. We know God to be our Heavenly Father. We're adopted in Christ Jesus, and we love Him who first loved us. And we trust that even with all the enemies that we face and the conviction of our sins more and more being shown up, we actually trust in Him, that He is working all things together for our good, even in the midst of the struggles of our ignorance, even in the midst of the struggles of the assaults of our enemies, the sorrow of our daily failings and sins. We see the blessing of a rich and wonderful God who loves us in Christ Jesus. And we wait upon Him expectantly and lift up our soul to Him. And this is what I'd like us to understand here. That you may come across some commentators as they look at this psalm and this first verse, where it says that the lifting up of the soul is an offering of ourselves to God. As it were, an offering of saying, Lord, I lift up my soul to You. I commit myself to serve You completely with all of my being. As it were, it would be like David saying, I take the whole of my life and I consecrate it to serve Jehovah with all of my energy. It's a bit, that would then reflect a little bit like it says in Romans 12:1, that we present our bodies as a living sacrifice. And certainly, that's a truth and that's real, but it's not really the sense of what we find here. As we see that this first verse is really a summary of the whole of the psalm and also a summary of what we've just been looking at in verses 2 through 5. What have we just been looking at? Well, first of all, it's talking about our soul. And our soul in that way represents really the whole of our being. Our soul is our mind and our heart, but it's embodied, isn't it? Our soul and heart is here in this body. Body and soul, here I am in all of my being. And here it's talking about soul. Lord, my soul, my whole of my being, and everything that I am in my thoughts and my emotions and everything that I go through, here I am. And my soul is what I lift up. David is saying here, oh Lord, You have created and made me. And I'm Yours for that reason. Lord, You have given me faith and saved me. And I am Yours. I'm Yours. But Lord, here I am in verses 2 through 5. Here I am so weak. I'm a saved sinner. I'm a saint by Your grace. But oh Lord, I struggle so much. The idea of lifting up his soul is he's saying, Lord, please be with me, with all of me. Here I take all of me and I present myself to You. I come to lift up every part of me so that in every part of me You may be my help. You may be my Savior, my teacher, my God, my all. It's not so much of David offering himself, I'm going to serve You, Lord, in every way. It's to say, Lord, here I am in all my weaknesses and my struggles. Oh, send help unto me. I lift up my soul to You. Lord, I wait upon You with an eager expectation, for You are my all in everything. And in this way, though we walk every day with faltering steps, though we know ourselves to be learners, though we find ourselves surrounded by enemies, yet we have a wonderful peace and assurance. Lord, on Thee do I wait all the day. Wait upon the Lord. Amen. Let's stand to pray. Oh Lord, we thank You for the Psalms. how much they speak to us of the very real experience of our own lives, of our own faith, of our own failings and weaknesses. Oh Lord, we pray that you may see us in this same light, that we may wait upon you, that we may lift up our soul to you and to confess that we are poor and needy sinners. We wait upon you all the day, Lord, that you may lead us and teach us and guide us and strengthen us, that you would increase our faith, and that in waiting upon you we may not be ashamed, but rather that we may be glad and delight in all that you are as our God and our Saviour. Accept of our praise and our worship, Lord. Forgive us for our sins and even not having that faith as we ought to do to believe these wondrous truths that you have given to us this evening. Bless them to our souls. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Our closing psalm is that psalm, psalm number 25. We sing from the first version of the psalm, psalm 25, the first version. Let's simply sing those same words together, the verses 1 through 5.
To thee I lift my song, O Lord, I trust in thee. My God, let me not be ashamed, nor foes triumph for me. Let none that wait on thee be put to shame at all. But those that without force transgress, let shame upon them fall. Show me thy ways, O Lord, thy paths, O teach thou me, and do thou lead me in thy truth, therein my teacher be. For thou art God that does to me salvation send, and I upon thee all the day expecting to attend.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Thank you.